I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, please. The book of Genesis chapter 22, and we're reading at verse 1, please. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning on the subject, God doesn't want your Isaacs, He just wants all of you. God doesn't want your Isaacs, He just wants all of you. And we're reading in Genesis chapter 22, and we're reading at the verse 1. Maybe before we read God's word, we could just bow in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee afresh today for the privilege of worship. We thank You for the opportunity of turning aside from the things that have been occupying our hearts and minds. We thank You, Lord, for being still and knowing that Thou art God. And Lord, we bless Thee for the mercies of the Lord toward us. We thank You, our Father, for the incarnate Word, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless Thee that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We thank You that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And John says, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Lord, we thank You not only for the incarnate Word, we thank You for the inspired Word. We thank You that we hold in our hands this morning the living Word of the living God. We believe with all our hearts that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to Thy Word, that Thou will give us receptive hearts, give us obedient wills, grant that we might hear the voice of the Lord speaking into our souls this morning. Speak, Lord, in the stillness. While we wait on Thee, hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Genesis 22 and the verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Notice the repetition of the word place. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Behold, here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself for a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bowed Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and in thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And then thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Keeping our Bibles open there, please, at Genesis chapter 22. Would you agree with this statement? Are you ready for it? A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. If you cannot test it, how do you know that it's true? How do you know that it's genuine? How do you know that it's trustworthy? How would you like to fly in an aeroplane that hadn't been tested? Imagine going up to Aldergrove tomorrow morning and boarding the plane and them saying to you, all right, you can step on. This plane hasn't been tested, but everything will be fine. But nobody tested the individual parts, and nobody tested the whole thing when it was brought together. We don't want to try something that hasn't been tested, do we? I heard of a lady who was getting ready for surgery. The doctor came in to her, the surgeon, the morning of the surgery. The surgeon said to her, "You look very nervous." She said, "I am nervous, doctor. It's my first operation." He said, "I know how you feel. It's mine too." I mean, most of us would like the comfort, would like the assurance of knowing that something has already been tested. And how do you know that your faith is real unless it can stand the test? You see, life is a series of tests. Abraham's life proves that. And here he is facing the supreme test of all. For look at Genesis chapter 22 in the opening phrase. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." The Hebrew word nasa there means that God did test Abraham. You see, God never tempts anyone to do evil. The Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." You say, what does this mean? It simply means that God was putting Abraham's faith to the test. He was testing Abraham's faith. There's a tremendous difference between tempting and testing. A temptation is a demonic device meant to defeat us. A test is a divine device meant to develop us. The devil tempts us to do wrong in order to cause us to stumble. God tests us to do right in order to cause us to stand. And what the Lord is trying to do here with Abraham is not to get Abraham to stumble. It's to get Abraham to stand. And God is putting Abraham's faith to the test. You know, my friends, this is an incredible story. God comes to Abraham and tells him that he wants to go to Mount Moriah, which would later be called Mount Calvary, and take his son, the child of promise, his dearly beloved son, and offer him there for a burnt offering. I suppose at this time Isaac must have been 17 or 18 years of age, and Abraham is well over 100 years of age. Can you imagine the father and the son as they set out for Mount Moriah? Can you imagine the father and the son sitting around that campfire on their way to Mount Moriah? Can you see Abraham looking into the handsome face of Isaac, whose name means laughter? He remembers the day that God spoke to him, and God said, "My covenant will I establish with Isaac." Abraham remembers the good times they had together, the times when he held that child in his arms. He remembers the time when he spoke to Isaac about the covenant that God had made with him. And Abraham's beginning to think now, what will he say now? What will be the look in his face when I bind him to the altar? What will be the look in his eyes? What will it be like when I take that knife and plunge it into his heart? What will his last words be? I cannot imagine What went through Abraham's heart and mind and soul, but he did it. He passed the supreme test of all. You see, what God wanted was not Abraham's or Isaac's life, but Abraham's loyalty. God didn't want Abraham's son. He wanted Abraham's heart. God doesn't want your Isaacs this morning. He just wants all of you. I want you to look with me at this test this morning, and I want you to notice there were four aspects to it. Here's the first one. There was a devotional aspect to this test. Do you love the Lord supremely? Why did God say to Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him? I'll tell you why. Because God had seen that Abraham was in danger of loving Isaac more than loving him. Abraham was in danger of loving the gift more than the giver. Abraham was in danger of loving the promise more than the God who promised. My dear Christian friend, this morning, God will never willingly let anything take first place in your devotion other than God himself. God desires, God demands, God deserves preeminence in your life. Look at this chapter and notice this was a powerful test. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. It's interesting that in the previous chapter, Abraham's son Ishmael had already been sent away. Now the command comes which would take Isaac away as well. God was asking for everything that Abraham had. One of my favorite Bible commentators, Warren Wiersbe, says, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, do what seems unreasonable, expect what seems impossible. I mean, all of Abraham's hopes, all of his dreams, all of his aspirations were wrapped up in that young man. God was asking Abraham to sacrifice the son of promise forever, even more, to offer him up as a sacrifice upon an altar. Can you imagine how that must have drained the lifeblood out of Abraham? His heart must have sank. His knees must have buckled. His stomach must have twisted into a knot. For a brief moment, despair, doubt, disillusionment, disappointment flooded his soul. Who ever heard of such a command? You put yourself for a moment in the place of Abraham. I tell you, if there is anything that gets to the heart of a parent, it's the children. If your children are having a problem today, that will get to you more than anything else in your life. It's the tenderest part in your heart. It's the softest part in your soul. And yet God told Abraham to take Isaac and offer him there as a burnt offering. I sometimes hear Christian believers say glibly, I want to do what God wants me to do. I often wonder, do they really mean that? My dear friend, this morning, would you obey God no matter what? Would you obey God no matter when? Would you obey God no matter why? Would you obey God no matter where? Could it be this morning that the Lord is asking you to bear the unbearable, to do the unreasonable, to expect the impossible? Maybe like Abraham, you've been through many tests, but none like the one which faces you now. It was a powerful test. Look at verse 1 again. It was a purposeful test. It came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. Now, in school, a test is given to evaluate your level of learning. But in the school of life, a test is given to evaluate your level of living. Abraham had his first share of tests from the beginning. You remember in Genesis chapter 11, God gave Abraham the family test. He called on Abraham to leave his father and mother, leave his relatives in Ur of the Chaldees and go into the land of promise. And then in chapter 12, he was given the famine test. Abraham feared God, and he went down to Egypt for help. And then in chapter 13, he was given the fellowship test. You remember when a conflict arose between him and Lot, he said to his nephew, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. In chapter 14, he was given the fight test when he defeated the kings who had captured Lot. In that same chapter, he was given the fortune test. He was offered all the wealth of Sodom, but he turned it down. And then in chapters 15 and 16, he was given the fatherhood test. When Sarah got impatient with God and suggested that they should have a child through Hagar. But here in chapter 22, God has reserved for Abraham the greatest test of all, the faith test. You say, Dennis, why did the Lord do this? To see if Abraham will give total obedience. To see if his all is on the altar. God didn't want Isaac's life. He wanted Abraham's loyalty. God didn't want Abraham's son. He wanted Abraham's heart. Now, let me ask you this morning. Do you love the Lord supremely? More than your family, more than your finances, more than your fashion, more than your fitness, more than your future, more than your farm, more than your football. Do you love the Lord supremely? We hear a lot about North Korea in these days, don't we? They're sending off rockets and nuclears, so on. But when North Korea fell to the communists many years ago, a group of communist soldiers came into a little village and they gathered up all the Christians. And they brought them together in this little hut where they met for worship. And in that hut where they met for worship, there was a picture of Christ on the wall. And they took the picture of Christ on the wall, these North Korean soldiers. And they said, anyone who didn't want to be shot dead, had to come up and look at the picture of Christ and spit on the face of Jesus Christ. Immediately a line of people lined up and they spat on the face of the Lord Jesus. Eventually a girl came from the back. She rose from her seat. She came up. She lifted the picture from the floor. She wiped the spittle from the face of the Lord Jesus. And she said, Lord Jesus, I love you. They took her out and shot her dead. Now, do you love the Lord supremely? There was a devotional aspect to this test. Look again. Secondly, I want you to notice there was a volitional aspect to this test. Do you obey the Lord unquestioningly? Sir Edmund Hillary was a New Zealand mountaineer. At 11:30 on the 29th of May 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary hoisted the British flag on Mount Everest. He had faced danger, he had faced disappointment, he had faced death, he had faced the raging elements, he had climbed up sheer walls of ice, he had known fear, he had known hunger, he had known pain, but eventually he arrived at the pinnacle of Mount Everest, 29,000 feet, as it towered toward the sky, and as he planted the Union flag on the summit of Everest, he stood where no man had ever stood, and he climbed higher as no man upon the face of the earth. But my dear friends, spiritually speaking, Abraham climbed a higher mountain when he climbed Mount Moriah. It cost him more. He climbed higher spiritually when he offered his son Isaac upon this mount. You see, the five key words in this chapter are found in verse 18. Have a look at them. Thou hast obeyed my voice. I tell you this morning, everything in the Christian life depends upon obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Can you see here his simple obedience? And Abraham rose up early in the morning and went. That's the second time you get that phrase. For in chapter 21, God tells Abraham to sell Ishmael away, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Simple obedience. God doesn't ask us to always understand. God doesn't expect us to have all the answers. He just wants you and I to obey him. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is not to make reply. Ours is but to do and die. Can you see the spirit of obedience? He responds to God's voice three times by saying, "Here I am," verse 1, verse 7, verse 11. Someone has said that the greatest ability anyone could have is availability. When Abraham said, "Here I am," he wasn't making himself available to decide about God's will. He was making himself available to do God's will. My dear friends, the will of God is not something which, when it is known, comes up for a vote. No, availability is giving yourself to the will of God even before you know it. Have you ever come before the Lord and said, "Lord, here am I"? Can you see the spirit of obedience? Can you see the steps of obedience? Can you see old Abraham over 100 years of age, and he's stepping out in the morning, and he's having with him all that he needed to have as he obeys God? What about us this morning? Are we rising up early? That is, are we giving God's will priority in our lives? Are we talking about what we're going to do? Or are we in the moving process toward Mount Moriah? Are we eager to obey the Lord? This was simple obedience. But look again. You can see here not only his simple obedience, you can see his sublime obedience. No debate, no discussion, no delay, no defiance. Abraham's motto was Psalm 119 and verse 60, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." My dear friends, here we see one of the greatest acts of obedience in the entire Bible. You see, Abraham was confident in the promise of God. He remembered what God said to him in a previous chapter, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." He knew that the purposes of God would never contradict the promises of God. And God had promised that the seed would come through Isaac. He was confident in the promise of God, something else. He was confident in the provision of God. You know, when Isaac started questioning verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." How could Abraham be so sure? Well, he knew that the God he served was the God who can supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He knew that where God guides, God provides. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Abraham was confident in the promise of God. Abraham was confident in the provision of God. Something else. Abraham was confident in the plan of God. Do you hear what he says to his servants, verse 5? "Abide ye with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to thee." He knew that one of two things was going to happen. Either God was going to provide a substitute, or else he was going to raise Isaac back from the dead. Indeed, the Hebrew epistle tells us, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Do you know something this morning? The reason that Abraham was confident in the promise of God, the reason that Abraham was confident in the provision of God, the reason that Abraham was confident in the plan of God was because Abraham was confident in the person of God. Spurgeon said, "Trust God. He cannot, he will not fail you." Abraham had determined in his heart, "If I can trust God with my soul, I can trust God with my son." And Abraham rose up early in the morning. You obey the Lord? What he says to you through his word? Do you obey this book unquestioningly? Oh, we sing it. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But do we mean it? Number one, there was a devotional aspect to this test. Do you love the Lord supremely? Number two, there was a volitional aspect to this test. Do you obey the Lord unquestioning? Notice thirdly, there was a sacrificial aspect to this test. Do you sacrifice to the Lord willingly? Now, it would be helpful if you put in the margin of your Bible Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. That's the New Testament commentary on this passage. Listen to what it says. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. It doesn't say that he was willing to offer him up. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You see, from the moment that he heard God's command, Isaac was as good as dead. I mean, in his heart, in his mind, in his soul. He had already offered up Isaac. He died in verse 2 when God asked him for Isaac. That was the level of this man's commitment to the Lord. Isaac had already been offered in Abraham's heart. The rest was just window dressing. And what was Abraham offering when he offered up Isaac? What was he sacrificing? Well, he was sacrificing his future. You see, Isaac was the son of promise. Through him, God was going to make a great nation. And when he offered up Isaac, there went his future. I wonder what your Isaacs are this morning. Could it be they are the things, the people, the places that have become our attachments? Maybe your Isaacs this morning are your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. Tomorrow couldn't be all that we dreamed without them. And yet God says to us this morning, give them to me. I heard about a Christian businessman who gave his business completely over to the Lord. He had hassled about it for years. He had fought with God about it for 20 years. And that Sunday morning, he had heard his pastor preach about giving your life and your family and your business over to the Lord. And he had enough. And by the time he had reached the home that morning, he had handed himself, his family, and his business over to the Lord. He had worried about his business for the very last time. That night he got a phone call to say that his place of business was on fire. He calmly drove to the business and was standing on the street watching the whole thing go up in flames. And he was smiling to himself. And one of his colleagues came down running to him. And he felt that he didn't understand. And he says, don't you know what's happening, John? Your business is burning up. He said, I know it, but no problem. I handed that business over to the Lord this morning. And if God wants to burn it up, that's his business. God asking you to sacrifice your future? What was Abraham sacrificing when he was offering up Isaac? He was sacrificing his future, but that's not all. He was sacrificing his family. I mean, you think about it. Can you imagine what Abraham would tell Sarah, Isaac's mother? What would he tell Isaac? What will he tell others? But his family couldn't come first. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Could it be this morning that your Isaacs, that my Isaacs are those things or those people that we have strong affection toward? It would tear you and I apart to lose them even to the mission field. And yet God's saying, give them to me. What was Abraham sacrificing when he was offering up Isaac on Mount Moriah? He was sacrificing his future. He was sacrificing his family. Something else. He was sacrificing his fellowship. I mean, there were others who wouldn't understand. There were others who would say, Abraham, you've done wrong. You ought not to do this. God doesn't ask this of you. It's too great a sacrifice. You see, my dear friends, anyone who is called by God to go will go to any great length to get there, but he'll always face these things. His future, his family, his fellowship. But if God says go, he'll go. Isn't that so? I mean, there will be people who don't understand. There will be people who will be hurt. There will be tears. But when God says go, how can you stay? How can you stay? You see, Abraham had reached the mountain of absolute surrender. What about you this morning? Have you come to the place of total surrender to God? Can you say this morning that the Lord is more important to you than anything else in your life? Well, there was a devotional aspect to this test. Do you love the Lord supremely? There was a volitional aspect to this test. Do you obey the Lord unquestioningly? There was a sacrificial aspect to this test. Do you sacrifice to the Lord willingly? Notice finally, there was a practical aspect to this test. Do you trust the Lord implicitly? I mean, can you see Abraham? As he smothers that son of promise with kisses, that son that he loves with all his heart, and he's saying to him, son, I don't understand it, but I'm putting you on the altar. You're the dearest thing on earth to me, but I'm putting you on the altar. I can almost imagine that the angels in heaven wept and said, look, there's a man on earth who's totally committed to God. And Abraham takes the knife. He's going to cut the throat of his beloved son. He's going to let blood spilt. He's going to set fire to the wood so that this boy will be totally consumed. Here's a man who has put his all on the altar for God. Suddenly he hears a voice. Look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, saying thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. Now we know what it's all about. God didn't want the life of Isaac. He wanted the heart of Abraham. And the Lord got it. And my dear friends, Abraham received some blessings that otherwise he would not have missed. Otherwise he would have missed. Did you notice that Abraham received God's provision? Think about this for a wee moment. While Abraham and Isaac were coming up one side of the mountain, a lamb was coming up the other side. God had already gone before and made a way. Just what Abraham needed, just where Abraham needed, just when Abraham needed it, God supplied the right provision. For our God is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see to it. That is, the Lord will provide. Do you know what provision is this morning? It's to see ahead of time. Provision. You see, when Abraham and Isaac were coming up one side of the mountain, the ram was coming up the other side of the mountain, and Abraham couldn't see the ram, but God saw the ram. God saw the need, and God provided. You know something this morning? Our God is still Jehovah Jireh. And the place, my friend, of God's appointment is the place of God's provision. Are you exactly where God wants you to be this morning? Then be assured that God will meet your need. Abraham received God's provision. Notice something else. Look at verse 12. He received God's praise. He obeyed God. He sought to please the heart of God, and God commended him. Verse 12. Now I know that thou fearest God. He heard the Lord say, I'm pleased with you, Abraham. My friends, is it not worth it to go through the trials and the tests if at the end of the day the Father can say to us, well done? Abraham received God's provision. He received God's praise. Notice something else. He received God's promise. Abraham, you haven't withheld anything from me, therefore I will withhold nothing from you. He'd heard these promises before, but now they took on fresh meaning. Charles Spurgeon said, "The promises of God never shine brighter but in the furnace of affliction." And my dear friends, what two men did on a lonely altar one day would bring blessing to the world. Now finished. Have you got the message this morning? It wasn't Isaac that God wanted. It was Abraham. And Abraham said, "Lord, if you want it, you can have it." And God says, "Abraham, it's really you that I want. God doesn't want your Isaacs. He just wants more of you. And God doesn't want your Isaacs. He just wants more of you." That's the purpose of the trial, to see what you will do. So obey the Lord completely. He will always see you through. God doesn't want your Isaacs. He just wants more of you. And so there's a devotional aspect to this test. Do you love the Lord supremely? There's a volitional aspect to this test. Do you obey the Lord unquestioningly? There's a sacrificial aspect to this test. Do you sacrifice to the Lord willingly? There's a practical aspect to this test. Do you trust the Lord implicitly? The story is told of an Indian chief who, hearing the gospel for the very first time, came and said to the missionaries, "God wants Indian's pipe." And they left it there. Later, when he heard the missionary preach the gospel for the second time, he said, "Missionaries, God wants Indian's horse." And he left the horse with the missionary and walked home. The third occasion he heard the missionary preach the gospel, he said, "Missionaries, God wants Indian's tent." And he left it there. And the final time he heard the gospel, he said, "Missionaries, God wants Indian." God wants you. Does he have you? Does he have all there is to have of you? Have you said and meant it? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. God doesn't want your Isaacs. He just wants all of you.